Good morning. It's good to have y'all here this morning. Have you guys helped me teach this class? All right. I got four words I've written up here on the board that we can talk about. We can add some others. You got believer, mm-hmm. Christian, disciple, follower. I put another one here. We sometimes use this word.
Convert.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Follower, actually, I'm going to do that. This is what they sometimes talk about in the New Testament, follower of the way. Are you a follower of the way? You know. So, are all these the same? Are all these the same?
Can be.
Basically.
You know, a believer, a Christian, a disciple, follower of the way, convert. We could put another word in there, saint, if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are they all the same? Are they all the same? Well, I ran into something on the internet. I was looking actually for something else. Usually what happens to me, I'm looking for something else and I run into something, you know. And it said, is a convert a disciple? Are they the same thing? Can you have converts and disciples and be two separate things? And I was in a hurry and didn't follow the lead to find out what they were talking about. But I went back in later on when I had a little time and I said, okay, I'm going to see if I can find this. And I couldn't find it, of course. I can never go back and find things. I got to bookmark them, you know. It's just. But anyway, I did find several people talking about, you know, some version of these words and saying, can you be a convert and not be a disciple? Can you be this or not that? You know, is there really a difference? What does the New Testament say? What does the New Testament say? So, can you be a convert and not be a disciple? Can you be a believer and yet not be a follower? Can you be a Christian and not be a disciple? So, I read wisdom on people I didn't even know on the internet. So, I thought, well, let's talk about this a little bit, you know. Y'all have any opinions, any ideas on this?
Well, the word does say that even a demon believe, but they're not followers.
Ooh, yeah. There's a good one in James, right? Mm-hmm. You say you believe in God? Mm-hmm. Big deal. Well, he didn't say big deal, but yeah. The idea was big deal. Even the demons believe in God, mm-hmm. and they tremble.
Yep.
But would you call them a disciple? Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point. Mm-hmm. Someone else want to weigh in?
I would say disciple is the strongest word out of. Because, I mean, even though they all can fall in one category,
yeah.
You know, a disciple does stand out.
Okay. All right. Anything you want to add to that?
I agree with that. Follower of the way. A disciple is somebody that goes to God. They continue to learn. They're learning and they obey going forward. Because when you obey, you learn things you can't learn any other way.
Right. Okay. Good.
And some people just follow the scriptures. They'll do that, but you know, they don't go in the Lord's presence, you know, and ask questions for their lives. But they'll find it in the Word and attempt to do it, which is good. But a disciple learns things. They learn warfare and all kinds of things.
Okay, good. anything to that? No? Okay. Well, yeah, this is kind of interesting. What I wound up seeing here is that when a person becomes a Christian, all right, they should also become a disciple, right? When they become a convert, they should also become a disciple. They should have that explained to them, that they should become a disciple also, all right? So a convert, receives the word with gladness.
Yeah.
Right? They go, well, this is really good. I'll go with this, right? And I'm, but then they need to grow. Okay? None of us come into the world fully mature. We all come in as little babies.
Yeah.
Okay? And we got a lot to learn.
Yeah.
We got to learn how to walk. We got to learn how to talk. You know, all these kind of things. Learn how to hold things. I was playing. Playing with a little 2.5-year-old last night. And it's amazing how you can take a simple little ball and that little ball can entertain a child for so long. But we would throw the ball.
They didn't even speak the same language.
No, she was Chinese. And so we're just bouncing the ball back and forth and throwing it. Of course, she can't catch it, you know. You throw it to her and she just, you know, bounces along. And so she runs after it. This goes on and on, you know. I mean, it's like she's just happy with it,
yeah.
You know. But she's learning about a ball, you know. And she doesn't even call it a ball. I don't know what she calls it, but anyway, I call it a ball. But, you know, there's a growth process that you go through. You start out, if you will, Paul called them carnal Christians, you know. We're more in the flesh than we are in the spirit. Often we'll start out as, and I don't know that I would call it that. I would say more as immature Christians, okay? We all start out as immature Christians. And so we have a lot of growing and learning to do, right? And we're growing and learning, hopefully, all throughout our life, right? That's good, right?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it occurred to me that, well, I'm thinking of something that just came to mind, and it's the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower? It says the sower, the farmer, had seeds in his sack or whatever, he went and he sowed seed. He threw, scattered them out. Some of the seeds fell here and there, and according to where the seeds fell, that told you what kind of, you know, harvest you were going to get. It said some of the seeds fell where? It fell along the wayside, the trodden path, okay, and it said that because the people didn't understand it, and understand the word, you know, the seed was the word of the kingdom. It said that the enemy would come and take it away, snatch it away from them. So these are not the converts he's talking about, right? But he also says there's seeds that fall among the thorns. Thorns spring up, the weeds come up, and they're not able to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Some seed falls among the stony ground.
Yeah.
Okay? Remember the stony ground? I heard it. Yeah. The stony ground. What happens when the seed that goes kind of comes up among the stony ground? It has no root in itself. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So when the sun comes out and beats upon it, it can't get to the water.
Uh-huh.
And it dies. Right? It doesn't produce fruit. Mm-hmm. Well, who was that? Because the people who receive the word, all right, and they quickly spring up. Mm-hmm. But because there's no root in them, they don't dig, the roots don't grow deep into the soil. All right? It doesn't really get into their heart, if you will. They what? Persecution comes, they fold up. They collapse like a $2 suitcase. You know, they're not there, you know. So Jesus brings forth in this parable four different types of seed and what happens to them, right? So we got some people that they receive the word, okay? Some people hear the word, but they don't understand it, and it just goes up, you know. Nothing happens, right? But then some people receive the word gladly, right? But because they follow, you know, they don't have any root in themselves, it doesn't go deep within them. They don't realize what they're going to, maybe they don't realize that you get persecution when you get Jesus. You get persecution. Because of that, when the persecution comes, they fall away.
Yeah.
I don't want this persecution. Right? And then there's folks that they get into it, but as the parable says, Jesus said about the parable, he says, the cares of the world. Right?
Yeah.
And all the other things come up and they get distracted away from it. Mm-hmm. And they're unable to produce the fruit. Mm-hmm. There's too many other things going on in their lives other than God's work. And so they're not able to produce the fruit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the fruit that falls among good ground, good soil. Mm-hmm. And it produces a harvest. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he was saying, There's a variation here of people that when they hear the word, you know, what happens? What do they do with the word? Okay? What do you do with the word? Do you accept the word? Do you just let it go? All this sort of thing. And so I wanted to bring us to a scripture in John 8. And the Jews, they were kind of interesting people. Jesus called them perverse and faithless generation. Is that what it was? He said, what am I going to do with you, you faithless generation? Anyway, Jesus is speaking, and this is in John 8, verse 20. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 59. We won't have time to read every verse, but I wanted to pick out a certain verses here in this passage. And Jesus, this is John 8, so he's in Jerusalem, and he's speaking in the treasury, all right? He's done some miracles. People have heard about him. They know kind of what's going on with him. And so he's there in the temple, all right? He's in the treasury, and he's teaching. No one around but Jews, okay? Only Jews are allowed in there. So it says in verse 20, it says, these words he spoke in the treasury, he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. All right, he'd been talking to the Pharisees, some of the Pharisees around, and all this sort of thing. So he said to them again, and he says some things. He says, I'm going away, you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, now this is different, because before he was talking about the Pharisees. He was talking to the Pharisees. But now he says, so the Jews. So this is a little bit different here. It says, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. He goes on and on. And then in verse 27, he says, they did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. They did not understand. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. Now go down to verse 30. He says, and as he was saying these things, many believed in him. Okay, so now we've got two groups of people. Okay, we've got some people who didn't understand what he's talking about, right? But now he says, many believed in him.
Yeah.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
Many believed in him. So let's keep going. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, that's a powerful thing, right?
Yeah.
If we stay in his word, we'll know the truth. We'll learn the truth. If we abide in his teachings, if we study his teachings, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free.
Yeah.
Boy, that's great. That sounds good, right? But listen to what they answered in verse 33. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Now, people, these were people who lived in a captive land. The Romans were in charge, right? Where do they come up with this? "We have never been enslaved to anybody." Look around, guys. You see that Roman soldier over there? You know, I mean, it's like Jesus had a hard time with these folks, right? But they're arguing with him, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." And he goes on and talks to them, and they're talking back and forth a little bit, all right? And in verse 44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." He's talking to the Jews. This is Jesus talking to the Jews. What? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to those who believed him? Who is he talking to here? My goodness. Verse 45, he says, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Before they believed him, and now we're down here, they don't believe him. What's going on? What's going on? Verse 47, he says, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Remember, faith comes by
hearing,
and they're not hearing, are they? They're refusing to hear. How can they get faith if they refuse to hear? Wow, this is really kind of screwy, isn't it? I mean, this is not working out right. So verse 48 says, "The Jews answered him, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?'" Is this the same bunch of Jews that believed him up here? Or is this some different Jews? It said many of the Jews believed him, right? But here's some, apparently they don't believe him, and now they're saying he's got a demon. So he speaks to them, and then in verse 52, the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Wow. We got a little discussion going, don't we? We got a little dissension, a little argument going, don't we? It doesn't sound like they believe him too well, does it? So he's talking to these Jews, many that believed him, supposedly, right? But now he's in a heated argument with them. A heated argument. Man, they're saying some rough things. Rough things. So you go down to verse 58. We're still in the same argument. He's still standing there, still sitting there, wherever. He's still with them. He's talking to the same group, apparently. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then in verse 59, this is a good one. "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple."
Like how he went through the middle
of it. Really? You know.
Yeah, when he said, "I am," that put their blood pressure to a whole new level.
Really? It really did. He said that's... That just told him. So it's really important, and this is, you know, this is what I'm about. I'm about discipleship, and I know you guys are mentoring other people. You're trying to disciple them into the Word and everything. So it's really important once they get converted. You got to start this discipling process. Really important to start that discipling process. All right, and bring them into a knowledge of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. Okay, try to help them get out of the weeds, or try to have them get the weeds pulled out before they get going. Try to get them to stick down good roots, get rid of the rocks in their lives, stick down good roots, and really grow, really seek God. If you abide in my words, get them to read the Bible, read what Jesus says, believe it, and walk in it. So I just encourage you, okay, when you're discipling someone, don't just get them a little ways and then walk off and leave them. You know, you really got to work with them. Go ahead and work with them, or else you may be hiding from them. You know, you may be hiding from them. So anyway, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the group here, what we're learning about you, Father. We thank you for communion this morning. It was wonderful. Thank you so much. And we just ask you to be with us throughout the rest of the day. Speak, Lord, through our mouths. See, Lord, through our eyes. Let us see the people that are hurting, the people that need you. And let us reach out with your hands, which are ours, and help them, Father, and speak the words of life to them. Bless the food that we have together to share. And bless the rest of the day, Father. And bring glory to your name. Amen. Okay.